Welcome, everybody, to the X1 Bros. This is your positive gaming and Xbox community. It's good to be back. It's been a big week, actually. A lot of news has dropped. A lot of things have happened. Primarily, I do want to talk about, someone was talking about this in chat earlier, but Manor Lords is dropping tomorrow, and I could not be more excited. We talked about it a little bit last week. It's a lot of people in this genre who have had access to this game, who have been playing it, say it's best in its genre ever. And that's very, very exciting. Manor Lords, it's like...
Let me pull up footage?
Let's pull up footage, man, of Manor Lords. But Jordan, you were telling me that the developers worried about its popularity.
I literally actually know nothing about it other than I've just heard that.
Yeah, so it's coming to Game Pass tomorrow. Granted, it's Game Pass Ultimate, so it's only available on PC Game Pass, but I'm going to be getting it. I'm going to be downloading it, and I could not be more excited about it. So it's a city builder with... army, like Shogun Total War, army elements to it. So you control your army. If you're ever invaded, et cetera, you got to call your people to arms. You're a manor lord. You're a lord of this manor. This is your manor as you build it up with your peasants, et cetera, et cetera. Like I said, everyone I've watched in this genre, it's a very specific genre, city builders and or strategy style gamers say this is the best that it's that game they've ever played in the genre. So I'm very, very excited.
So where's it coming out on? Just everywhere?
Eventually it will be everywhere. On Game Pass, it's going to be on PC, the PC Game Pass. PC only. So yes.
Because is this game already out? It's just coming to Game Pass? Is that what I'm getting? Or is it releasing on game? Like,
I believe this is releasing day one. This has been like early access that these... the like reviewers have been playing, to my understanding.
Gotcha, cool.
To my understanding. So yeah, I'm very excited for that. That's tomorrow.
We're just sitting here watching them build a house. Let me skip ahead to see if we can see. Okay, there's a city builder aspect.
But even go a little bit further, and you can see we go into like battles. You can go into 3D mode. You can even like walk around your town yourself as the lord of the manor. We may have to go to part two for that. But
taking a stroll
through town, talk to the bartender. The peasants, be a man of the people, man among the people. But yeah, I'm very...
Check their needs.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Very excited for it. So, should be good. In other big news, BlizzCon, Xbox has canceled BlizzCon. Now, they canceled They canceled it for this year. They
first
said they're
of
doing
all,
something
first
different.
First of all, Xbox didn't cancel it.
Oh, well, Xbox, I mean, they're all owned under the same umbrella. Phil Spencer canceled BlizzCon.
I don't think so.
Yeah, no.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Are you sure that's the headline I saw?
I think this is just a case of them. They're pulling a Sony. They have nothing to show, so they're not going to do anything. Mm. Because what do we have? They announced Warcraft last time, and I don't think anything's happened since then. We have Hearthstone and we have Overwatch, but those games are old and they're in a interesting place, but I don't think they have anything to get excited for. Like, what are, I mean, you have the tournaments and stuff, you know, you have like I actually don't know who in the Overwatch League who's gonna go for it, but anyways, there's nothing to show.
Yeah, I think that's why they canceled it too. I don't think they have enough ready content to make a whole weekend out of it.
I think
because we already know pretty much all we need. Well, we know a lot about The War Within, which is the next big Warcraft expansion. We even already know about the Pandaria remix that they're doing. So we know what's coming for Warcraft.
Their survival game.
Is the time in the same way that like we need, if you think about it, the crunch for a conference, especially, so this is a big conference. BlizzCon is like 40,000 attendees. It's huge. Cost them a ton of money to put on. Do you think this could be a case? Because they said it's coming back. It's not. This is not done forever. We're just exploring different avenues.
They said in future years, so it might not even be here next year.
Yeah. So, but what I'm saying is,
well, did Minecon ever come back from Minecraft? I don't think.
Yeah. Don't they have?
I don't think they do it anymore.
Oh, I thought they still had. Yeah.
I don't think so. So
the thing is
once Microsoft gets involved.
Yeah. The question is because as someone who it's very costly, and it's a lot of effort. The minute this thing shuts down, there's a team already saying, okay, now what do we do next year? And then it slowly builds up over time. You got to figure out what you're going to show off, what you're going to do. How do you bring value to people that attend? how do you say thank you to them? What's appropriate? What's too much? Look at all the other conferences that are going away. I think we say we're living through this shift in gaming, and we are living through a shift in gaming. This is a part of that shift. Maybe in the same way that an Assassin's Creed dropping every year just doesn't work over time because you're constantly pushed in crunch, maybe a BlizzCon every year doesn't work. Maybe it goes every other year.
Maybe, yeah.
And then you've got meat. You've got substance to show off.
And maybe there was some talks behind the scene with Microsoft where they said, hey, don't, or I don't know. But we do know Holly Longdale, who's the head of World of Warcraft,
yeah,
said that Microsoft has been basically, she paraphrasing, she said Microsoft is letting Blizzard be Blizzard.
Yeah, so I mean, that's what they're notorious for, that.
Now, to be fair, I think in some cases that's Microsoft's problem that they
sometimes have. Yeah,
sometimes.
So maybe, you know, we should, you know.
Here's the thing, though. With everything happening, with everything that has happened with Blizzard, with Activision Blizzard this year, it makes sense to take the year off. Let's say it's just a year or multiple years, but let's pretend it's just a year for now. It makes sense. Come back. You got to figure out what do you want to show off, what do you want to utilize this for, and then go from there.
Yeah.
If I was Xbox and I want to make a big splash, what I do is BlizzCon, because how long is it? 2 days? Is it a day?
It's like Friday through Sunday. It's a weekend.
And I, around it, do my own Xbox showcase as well, in like complement each other with it and make it just one big, giant Xbox event. Bring in press. You own it. You own the time. You own all of the reveals. You own everything.
I think there's no reveals.
Really, that's the problem. Without reveals,
no. Yeah,
you have our tournaments, but they are still going to be doing the tournaments.
Yeah, but that's what's happening this year. What I'm saying is, when you bring it back, maybe Xbox chooses this, because also this is held in Anaheim. It's not much to move it to the Microsoft Theater and have everything there. You've got the convention center as well, where you could house. I mean,
yeah, I guess you wouldn't.
It would be huge.
You technically don't have to. Wait, does Microsoft still own the theater, Nokia Center?
I don't know.
What used to be the Nokia Center?
Maybe they own the one in Anaheim. I don't know. I don't know that much about what they own.
They own a lot.
You think they'd include that, the keys to that, with the $7 billion or whatever it was?
Yeah.
But, no, I think Blizzard is going to be like Bethesda. Microsoft gives them their own show. Mm. You know, how like we had that Starfield Direct. I don't know. I think BlizzCon is popular enough to keep.
Yeah, but is the value. So, because it's a value question. For a company, how many people are coming? Is it worth it for us to hold this just for Blizzard?
I mean, entities? They sell out every time, don't they?
Well, maybe that's the problem. The tickets were last year $300.
Yeah, and then the year before that.
Wait, was that before the pre-order tickets that were like $600 to get into the Dark Moon Fair?
But just because they sell out, this is not a profit. This is not a moneymaker for Blizzard. Yeah. They're losing money on it every year. It's literally fan service. Mm. So. I'm sure the discussion is, okay, well, if we do continue with BlizzCon, why don't we get more out of it here, and let's make it a whole Xbox conference around it. Then you have people there, you've got other, you know, you make it this huge event.
Well, then it's not BlizzCon, then it's an Xbox conference.
It's Xbox Presents
BlizzCon.
With BlizzCon. I don't know.
Xbox presents BlizzCon.
Xbox presents BlizzCon.
Brought to you by T-Mobile.
No, I think they'll have it. I don't think they have anything. I mean, last year's BlizzCon, they announced the three next Warcraft expansions that we're getting, and like the World Soul Saga. I don't think they have anything to show this year. Like, War Within is coming out.
Yeah,
we know that. We're not going to see the next one, which is, I forget what it is. It called Midnight, which is the next one.
Midnight.
Yeah, that's
like
what
that's still 2 years out. You know,
they're pulling a Sony. They have nothing, so they're just not going to do it, which is fine because that makes you look.
You know, StarCraft doesn't have anything.
Yeah,
you know,
like
I don't know what Overwatch's plans are. Hearthstone probably doesn't have enough to, you know.
They're still doing the tournaments. They're still they mentioned the Warcraft tournaments they're going to do. They mentioned the World Championship of Overwatch and all that stuff. Everything's still going to take place, which it's probably going to be on a much cheaper scale than the big production that they do every year. So.
Can I say I'm really not excited for that?
Why?
For what?
We're watching the BlizzCon, last year's BlizzCon opening ceremony, and they just showed off World of Warcraft Cataclysm Classic. Like, it, funny enough, Classic is probably the first Warcraft expansion that I hit super hard, because it was like at the time when I like I was done with high school, I had my own job, I had could afford a good computer, yeah. You know, like yeah. You know, I played Lich King and Burning Crusade and stuff, but I think this is the one that I probably hit like raiding every week, you know, like hit really hard. But yeah, I'm just not excited for Classic. You know why? Because it's not Classic.
Cataclysm.
Yeah, Cataclysm is not Classic. Do you know how I know that? Because that's when they changed the game.
Okay.
Sorry, I wanted to throw that out there. No, that's okay. You feel bad. There's distinct eras of WoW, and Classic is and Cataclysm is not in the Classic era. Cataclysm is basically WoW 2.
Yeah. Anyways, we are in this new gaming era, and a lot of conferences have gone away, and with, you know, with what you can do digitally, with how you can expose your videos and get them out to, you know.
Maybe they'll do people. That BlizzCon line. Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, but maybe this is just part of that adjustment, and it'll be interesting to see who figures out conferences correctly and can sustain them going forward, because the purpose of conferences in the past is very different than the purpose of them now. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there, but I would be willing to bet we get some sort of hybrid with Xbox.
Yeah. I think they'll keep the Blizzard stuff separate. I really do.
No, it's...
I'm sure Xbox will have a presence, but I think the brand
Blizzard will be sponsored by Xbox.
But it's not going to be... Yeah, I think Blizzard and their games are still going to... And like Call of Duty and Activision Blizzard, I still think they're going
to... Yeah, but Xbox, think about it. Xbox has enough developers now, including and with this BlizzCon stuff, you could have your own E3 essentially.
Yeah, maybe that's what they'll do it. And they'll call it Xbox Presents BlizzCon.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Maybe after letting 1,900 employees go, they just didn't have the manpower to do this.
Well, I also think that that's probably,
do you think there's a lot of shifting going on behind the scenes that they just don't have time for it?
Oh, yeah, guaranteed. But also, it's not a good look. It's very costly. You let people go this year. So
you're going back to Xbox trimming the fat, essentially, and this is one of the things that they would lose a lot of money on?
Oh, yeah, these things cost tons of money.
So you're saying...
I mean, look at that screen.
So you are saying you feel like Microsoft is just trimming the fat, and this is one of the... They're stepping in and saying, we're not doing BlizzCon.
I don't know, but... I don't think that that's unrealistic, no.
Yeah, I think
that's a distinct
right.
possibility.
I just don't think they have enough to show off.
And that's a big thing, too.
Yeah, I think that's part of it, too.
They, like BlizzCon, the opening ceremonies, that's where the majority of people come in to watch to get hype. That's what we're watching right now.
PNX World in chat says call it XCon.
XCon.
Yeah. Yes. Andrew Nuremberg, by the way. Has two super chats, his first super chat ever in the channel. Thank you, Andrew Nuremberg. For $2, he says, you guys see a new engine update coming for Hunt Showdown. I did not see that, but Hunt Showdown, there's a game that does some things right and does some things that terrify me.
Yeah,
It's like Rainbow Six. Like, nobody talks about it, but it's a very popular presence.
Very popular presence that a lot of people play, yeah.
That is very strong, and it's a good
solid
game.
Solid updates, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I saw a stat once, I think. I don't know if it was true, that 60% of the people that play that game has never killed another player.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I mean, you could just do the... Yeah, because you go for the bosses, right?
Yeah.
And then get out.
Which is a big number. I'll go look up where I saw that, but I saw that one.
That's cool. That's crazy. That's a really cool stat too. Andrew, thank you very much for that super chat. In other news, we talked about this last week. Talked about a little bit how Fallout is this huge cultural moment. Spicy, have you started watching any of the? Have you watched any episodes?
No.
You should, man. It's very good.
I know.
It's very very good. Anyways, as a result, and as this becomes more popular. Fallout tweeted out this message. They said, thank you. They did this week on, Tuesday? Stay Thursday? On Tuesday, yeah. Thank you to the over 1 million of you who adventured with us in Fallout 76 in a single day.
And that was just 76.
That was just 76. five. They then followed that. They followed up that tweet with another one and said, "And almost 5 million across all Fallout games in a single day."
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, and I will admit when I'm wrong. A few weeks ago, I said, "Why don't they just release this update with like what are they doing? Like, yeah. Why didn't they release the update along with the show? You have all the hype. The hype has grown almost double each week since the show. Yeah. So actually releasing it this week was probably,
and I don't think we're at peak
like
yet.
The perfect time.
I think in another week we'll be at peak. We'll hit peak. Maybe
yeah.
2 weeks.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's still going to grow.
Yeah.
But
the power of culture, the power of imagine if Halo.
Well, that's what's so frustrating. Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Imagine if Halo was yeah. as good as Fallout.
By the way,
you do fan service, you create a great story, and you get people who otherwise, you expose your game to everybody who wants to play it or who don't know that they want to play it, and you make them want to play it.
Yeah. By the way, the memes of the Fallout show and Halo show have been top tier.
Top tier.
The last couple of weeks. Yeah, they have been top tier.
Vindication.
There's been some good memes. Yeah, it actually makes you frustrated as a Halo fan. You're actually yep. doubly frustrated as a Halo fan because you had Helldivers a couple months ago and you're like, well, this could have been a Halo game.
Yeah. It could have been an ODST yeah. game.
And though. Then you got a TV show and you're like, this could have been a, we could have had a good TV show.
Right.
Like you, Halo, it's just been, it's been downhill for the past couple months for Halo.
Rye 51 Gaming says, who would have thought that making something good would have positive benefits? And Beast follows up and says, if they had done Halo right, it would have exploded the player base.
Well,
look at what it's done for Fallout.
Who would have thought that like following the source material and making a show that fits within that source material would reach lots of people?
Who would have thought that catering to the fans of your of your story in the first place translates to people who aren't fans as well.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
Who
would have thought of actually playing the game before you became the main actress?
Who would have thought?
You know?
Yeah, and like...
Yeah, and she played Fallout 4, like, which is really cool.
Appreciating fans instead of spitting in their face. Who would have thought?
And yeah. saying, we specifically went out of our way to not play this game yeah. and understand the story so we can do our thing with yeah. your IP.
Yeah. Well, that's what gets me is like, it's the whole like, oh, we're making it to a broader audience, like with Halo, right? Like they did the show because they wanted to reach a broader audience. I don't know how to tell them, like Halo 2 already did that. Like yeah. they, your job, you don't need to do that.
Halo
like,
2 and 3.
Halo 2 did that for you. Like when the news people started reporting, like there's a big line outside. What's going on? Like they've done that.
They've opened you up to a broader audience.
Yeah. All you have to do
just
is
tell
just,
the story. Yeah. Just tell the story. Even so, Fallout is a top tier series. See, season one. Don't yeah. know what season two will be. You got to match it though. Top tier. Airbender. I think here's a prime example. Airbender is not top tier.
Airbender
is like a B.
It's good, but it's yeah. not. I would say Fallout is better.
But guess what? Airbender does the story right, and so we're happy. That's all yeah. you got to do. It doesn't have to be the best thing ever. Just do the story right. All my kids are now watching all the past Airbenders because we watched it as a family together, and they stuck to the story, didn't make any of us mad.
Yeah.
It works.
There were some things that you're kind of like, I wouldn't have done it that way. But
yeah, but it works.
But it was all right.
Yeah, so yeah. you don't even need to... If Halo did that and was just a B, it's way better.
Imagine if Halo just like retold the first game.
It's going to be interesting.
That's all you got
to
do.
It's going to be interesting to see if Gears, because there's a Gears series, can Gears match it? Because Gears is, I would say Gears is a close second of why the Xbox is where it is. Halo took it. Gears took that baton and crossed the finish line.
Yeah, Halo got people to get the first Xbox.
Halo started the race.
Gears got people to get the 360. Xbox 360.
Yeah. Gears.
Remember that commercial that came out?
Yeah, Mad World.
Oh, that commercial? Yeah, that's. I think that's why I got a 360.
And here's the thing.
I was planning on getting one anyways.
Just like Fallout. In fact, I think better than Fallout, Gears holds up. The mechanics of Gears... duck behind stuff, shoot.
CNN cam? Yeah. Who would have thought?
Oh, that CNN cam. Yeah, that was new. That was like, whoa.
Yeah, but that just works
heavy as you're running. And
slam. Oh, yeah. Wall. Well, that's the best. The feel of the game, like, like you're a chunky boy, you know? Yeah, so, yeah, like
there's crunch and the weapons, the saw.
Yeah, are there going to be a series, a Gear series? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's being made right now.
Isn't like Dave Bautista going to be in it or something like that?
Something, yeah. So
he actually like looks like a Gear.
He does look like a Gear.
Yeah. Like, so I don't think he's going to be Marcus Fenix, but he looks like a Gear.
If they can nail it.
Maybe he'll be Carmine.
Again, it doesn't even need to be an A. But if you make it a B, you can do two Gears what Fallout has done to Fallout. I did a video this week over on my channel, X1 the Gamer.
Good job.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Where I talked about, I think Fallout has a solid chance of surpassing Halo as the Xbox title.
Well, I think right now, and I think Xbox should lean into it. When you sell your Xbox, as much as it hurts, maybe Master Chief's not on the cover. You put the Vault Boy on the cover. You know what I mean? Yes, you can get these games. You can get it on PlayStation and stuff too, but this is your IP now.
It's like, your IP.
This is, you know.
We had the FPS boost before the update.
Yeah.
We had the performance mode, the next gen mode, before it dropped to everybody else. It was already built in.
Yeah. So, well, hey, so speaking of Fallout, we talked about this last week, and I agree with you. I talked about, do you think they should accelerate, you know, like Fallout 5, right? Because if we look at it, we're not going to get Fallout 5, what'd you say, like 2035? You know, we're not going to get it for a while because you got...
2030.
You got
2030 probably, yeah.
You got probably most of the team working on the next Elder Scrolls, which I don't think we're going to get next year. I think we'll get the year after. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you're going to have that majority of team go to, you know, full production on Fallout 5. And now here's my thing. Because Fallout is becoming this new... Well, not new, but because it's moving into the light, like everybody's playing it. I think you're right, David. I think we're going to have more numbers this week, yeah, higher numbers of Fallout. I think it goes
up from here.
Do you think we should get, just hear me out, maybe bring in some of these support studios and, hey, maybe not next year, but the year after, release Fallout.
Nope.
No, listen. Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas remaster.
Oh, just keep
you know, keep people excited for Fallout.
A remaster, yeah.
Fallout 3 remaster.
Because here's the thing, I jumped into Fallout 3.
And you don't have to put Bethesda on that. Yes, I know a lot of people want like, oh, let Obsidian do like a spin-off series. And maybe you could do a spin-off series, right? You know, like it's not going to be New Vegas 2, but like a new, because New Vegas was kind of, I mean, it's a part of the canon, but it was kind of a split. You know, it kind of went and did its own thing on the West Coast, right? Yeah. Maybe you do another. So I think that would be beneficial for Xbox.
I would be down for a remaster because here's the thing. I jumped into Fallout New Vegas and it holds up. We said this last week. You played it. You beat it.
Yeah.
Holds up. Plays very well. There is a lack. It does suffer from immersion, from world immersion, because the detail isn't there that when you fire up Fallout 4, you're like, ah. Wow.
Well, when you go to Fallout 4, there's two things that you notice.
The world.
The world. It's just, it's because of technology, the world is more, it feels more dense.
It's dense. There's depth there.
Also, Fallout 4 nailed the actual movement mechanics, whether you're in first person or third person. That was like a huge improvement from like Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas to Fallout 4.
A remaster would be super cool. And I think here's the thing. I don't think you need to rush a Fallout 5. At all, let's pretend it's 2030 or 20. Let's say it's 2032, whatever. By the time it comes out, you have 3, maybe 4 seasons in Fallout, and if you maintain the level of this first season, storytelling wise, you're at an all time high. Like the hype for that game will be huge, like bigger than ever, bigger than Elder Scrolls. It will be the biggest hyped game. And think about this too. Fallout is set up in a way that there is something for everybody. You want a multiplayer game? There's Fallout 76, and Fallout 76 is in the best place it's ever been. People going back, reviewing it right now, talking about it. Wow, I can't believe all that's improved here. Look at this. This is great. Mm-hmm. So there's a multiplayer MMO style game for you. You want to play that? You want to jump into single player? There's a plethora of single-player open-world RPGs for you to play. Fallout 4, jumped into this week. It's good to be back. Yeah. You want to play mobile games? Fallout Shelter. There's a Fallout Shelter game right there on mobile. It has something. They literally have something for everyone in the IP on top of this huge cultural moment that is the television
show. Yeah. But no, I wonder if there's talks right now. Just like, hey, what if we get a team on like Fallout 3 remastered, or like a combo Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas remastered? Because they're
the thing. Both I don't, the same I don't game, know. But just with different do we
skins.
Know?
What? Or what if you had a team do like another, like I said, like maybe like instead, you know, like Fallout Texas, you know, like a side story.
I would pay a lot of money for a Fallout Texas.
You know what I mean? Like, because there was Fallout.
One of my favorite places.
Fallout New Vegas, right? You had that kind of a side story, but it's a part of the main canon. Why not have someone else? And that was done by Obsidian.
All right, I got one for you.
I need a flag. Fallout Texas. With yeah, the you know, boy on it.
And maybe have that game shoot for what is it? 2024? Maybe 2026. Like, I know that's not a lot of development time, and maybe there's already stuff in the works. I don't know, but
yeah.
But all I'm saying is I think it would be beneficial not only for the Fallout franchise and its fans and Xbox, but doing something while we wait for Fallout 5.
Yeah.
You could do every state.
You could. That would be fun.
We can go through all 50 states. Fallout Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Well, who was the Russians, right, that bombed America?
I think it was the Chinese.
The Chinese, and we bombed them back. We could, you could have the, you know.
You could do the other side. The other, tell the side, other side of the war. Story.
Yeah. In the show, they talk about the bombs. It's very interesting.
Oh. Yeah.
There's a, like, big there's, lore. There's big lore there's drops
some,
in the
there's
show.
Some huge lore drops.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Very big ones. Ones where you're like, holy wow.
Ones that are directly related to what you just said.
Yeah.
That's cool. That
which blow, is why I can't say anything. Yeah. Because
that will blow your mind, actually. I'm okay. Telling you, you gotta watch the show.
And see,
I feel like we're handicapped because we can't talk about it.
I don't know if it's outright said, but it's very heavily implied.
You do have, you do, unless your wife
and
appreciates
if you know, you know.
Humorous violence, humorous, gratuitous violence, you're gonna have to watch it by yourself.
Sure.
It's not so bad.
Well, it's because it's like humorous.
It's
because
it's humorous, so you're like, it's like ridiculous violence.
Well, I'll have to watch. See, I just don't watch shows anymore.
Dude, it's just 1 hour. Just take 1 hour a night, and you'll have watched them all by the next episode.
1 hour a night, and then I don't play games. So it's
but how many hours do you play games for? More than 1 hour.
He's got
like
a point there.
Like an hour and a half?
No, yeah. I for sure tracked you guys on Baldur's Gate the other night. It was way longer than an hour and a half.
Well, no, but see, with Baldur's Gate, that's when I play with Jordan and Blake. And that's usually about an hour and a half to 2 hours. We've sometimes ended at 45 minutes in, but that's a couple of times a week, if that. And that's like, that's it.
Just
I'm not playing anything else. I do
just
have,
take a Saturday night and a Sunday, and just binge them.
Watch it while you're like mowing the lawn.
You can't do that.
How?
Yeah, you can't do that.
No, no, no. I want to figure out because if we can figure this out. I want to do that.
Like, well, because you have a riding lawnmower, just put your phone on the dash.
You're not going to enjoy it. You're going to miss so much.
My riding lawnmower is
going to run over your kids' toys.
It's like the zero turn ones now. I used to have a steering wheel, but now I have a track like a.
You stand on it?
No, like you push it like.
Yeah, but it goes like 360.
Yeah. Tape it to. There's something in front of you. Just
no,
tape
there's
it to
not.
That.
That's what I'm saying. There's not on this one. I look like a goofus.
Goofus.
Yeah.
Fallout Wisconsin, says Nico Fernandez.
Fallout Wisconsin. Yes,
that would be allowed. Shout out to Fame Flea. Welcome to Tier 1 Wingman status. Thank you very much, Fame Flea. He says, what's up, bros? Haven't missed an episode, but first time catching you live in a few months. Much love. Thank you. Much love to you, brother. Appreciate that.
David Brownfield said, I've never catch you guys live. I tune in and it's all about lawnmowers.
Yeah, but there you will watch it. When you watch it, Spicy, you'll be like, this is what
my old lawnmower. My old lawnmower, I would be able to do it because it had a steering wheel, but I don't know how I would put it on there.
So
I
jumped into Fallout 4, and I think I'm going to make a statement here.
Tape it to my hat.
Yeah.
So this
just
week
get a VR headset.
See what I'm doing.
Yeah, so this week I've been playing Fallout 4, and I think it's an underappreciated game.
What?
And at its Fallout time, 4? It was underappreciated. I think we had come off this high of Skyrim, and Skyrim is a distinct style and a distinct, like, distinct mechanics.
Well, it's interesting.
Distinct story.
I would say,
because when you go back and play it,
yeah. So I enjoyed Fallout 4, and I would say
it was very good.
Fallout 4 came out, it was like the time of enhanced criticism of great things.
When you got to keep in mind, Fallout 4 also came out around, it was, I don't know how far after, but it was not too long after Witcher 3.
That's true.
And also, at the same time, it's probably battling new kids on the block, PUBG, Fortnite, right around that time, too.
Okay. Yeah, okay, I thought you were actually talking about the band. I was like, no, that was...
No.
New Kids on the Block was like 91,
But you know what I'm saying? This new popular genre is also... So there's a lot vying for your attention during that
There's a timeline of when we were really happy about every game that came out, and then
Xbox One happened.
Well, I think it's in relation to
social media. It's a direct correlation to social media, for sure.
And ad revenue. When ad revenue became really important, you wanted to get clicks, and so you'd have to be critical about something, and you'd have to have a divisive opinion, and that's about the time when Fallout 4 came out. When was that? Was that
2015?
Yeah,
right at the streaming
when content creators were actually starting to get paid.
Yeah.
for a lot of stuff. I remember when a game would come out, and everyone was happy.
Hey, look at the Metacritic scores here: 88 and 87.
Well, so Witcher 3 was May of the same year, so it was about.
That's before, and November 10th. This is November 10th.
Yes, it was November 10th. So Witcher 3 was made of that. So Witcher, and when Witcher 3 came out, I think Witcher 3 had a rock star.
Let's pull up a
rock star effect in the respect that I think it changed the way people thought and played open world games.
In fact, is there the new update gameplay yet that we can pull up, Spicy?
For what?
For today, the next gen update that dropped. Is there gameplay of that we can?
No. So I think Fallout 4 is a very good game.
Go ahead.
As for like Fallout, I think they made some decisions in Fallout 4 that lessened the Fallout feel for me. For example, and we talked about this before, the main character, the voice acted main character, it limited your dialogue options.
Yeah, here's the thing too. They just come off of Fallout New Vegas.
And they did lean a lot more into like the action RPG. For example, in Fallout 4, within like the first 20 minutes, I mean, you technically can do this with exploits in the older ones too, but within like the first 20 minutes, you're pretty much decked out and loaded with armor and guns. Whereas in like New Vegas and 3, you kind of had to work a little bit harder for that.
Yeah.
You know, so they did make gameplay decisions that I think took some things away. Now, if you notice, if you go to Starfield, like even if you're looking at Starfield, they went back to character choice dialogue.
Yeah,
because I think that's just better in this style of game.
I agree.
So, but I think Fallout 4 is a good game.
Here's the thing, though. When I played it, I never finished this game, and I remember moving on pretty quickly from it.
I can't find any Xbox. I have PS5.
That's fine. So, we've already had it on Xbox. They've done comparisons between what the backwards or the the boost that we get.
Yeah, the main reason you're getting the update is because of the frame rate increase on console.
We've had it though on the Series X; like it's very, very similar, anyways. But when jumping back into this game, Fallout's just very good at immediately hooking you into the story, like immediately making you care about the character, immediately making you care about what happens to him. And then as a result, making you want to explore. Right after that, you jump into the first couple missions, and the first couple missions immediately immerse you into the world and introduce you to it in a way that I think is top tier. I think it kind of goes underappreciated because you had New Vegas, you had Skyrim. And then Fallout 5, to Spicy, I think is a great point. The timing that it came out, maybe it didn't get the prolonged, and Jordan, you with The Witcher 3, the prolonged accolades that perhaps it deserved.
Going back to like your intro, that's actually one of the things I dislike about Fallout 4. I think the intro itself is fine, like where you create your character and you run to the shelter because the bombs are dropping. Yeah. I prefer, and I even prefer this to Fallout New Vegas as well. I prefer Fallout 3's intro to both New Vegas and Fallout 4.
That's cheating. And come on, we know why that's.
Well, it's for a lot, because there's a lot of people, believe it or not, that don't like it because it's very. It takes too long, especially on like subsequent.
But you have Liam Neeson.
So it's Liam Neeson, but
he's like the soothing Liam Neeson voice.
I like.
Does he tell you about his skills?
No.
It's awesome.
But I like the idea of you started out as a baby, and then like you went to your ninth birthday, and that's kind of how they teach you. Like this story effect of you actually grew up in the vault. And then when you go through all this vault stuff, which is probably the first, I don't know, I'd say 30 to 45 minutes of the game, depending on how fast you're playing it. Like if you're skipping through, you can probably get through it pretty quick. But then you finally step out into the wasteland, and it is this giant open world, like before, like the way your character's positioned. I think that is one of the coolest introductions. Oblivion did it, Skyrim did it. Like that's kind of just what Bethesda does. You know, you start out in that cave and then you go into this open world. I really like that. Now, Fallout 3 got a lot of criticism for that. And I think that's why Fallout 4, you basically you go into the vault and then you come right back out. Like it's very quick.
Like 200 years went by.
But yeah, but it's very quick for you. But it's very quick. And I get that. Like you want to be in the wasteland, you want to be in the open world setting, but I really liked the story aspect, and I like the feel of growing up in the vault and then coming out.
Yeah, but this is
and
a different story. But it's a different story.
It's actually the same story, just in reverse.
Okay.
It's actually literally the same story as Fallout 3, just in reverse. Instead of chasing your dad, you're chasing your son.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So, like, but given that difference, the way that they introduce you here is amazing. Like, immediate connection, immediate emotional attachment, immediate buy-in. Mm-hmm. Do you want to know where Starfield misses in that? And I'm someone that likes Starfield a lot. Some crazy asshole, though, on Twitter was like, Starfield is far superior than Fallout 4.
I don't think
No, it's not. And
was that you, by the way? Because you're a big Starfield. I like Starfield.
Before you started playing Fallout, that's what you said.
No. I think I've always said, go back and check the tapes. I've always said, I think Starfield is set up for the future, and I'm going to be very interested to see where it goes from here. With and it's mods. Very good. It does not compare. It does what Starfield is missing is that immediate hook and that immediate, like, I care about who I am and who these people that I'm who these other people are, and now I have my mission to go on. Starfield never has that. Starfield, it's very obtuse. Like it doesn't give you that immediate connection at all. And I would say I never actually felt that connection to the level that I feel in Fallout 4 ever in Starfield. It never developed to that. The story is super cool. I love what they do with the story, but it misses the connection, the connectivity that you have in like a Fallout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Fallout is superior than Starfield, Fallout 4.
Yeah, I would compare them both side by side.
And the main reason being is because I prefer the one wasteland as opposed to the entire galaxy.
Having said that, there's still a lot of loading screens. There's a lot of loading screens.
Well, yeah. 4. Yeah.
That's the
but
engine that they use.
Cutting out your spaceship does cut a good 45% of your load screens.
That's true. No, Starfield, I still really, really like
Starfield. I feel like they did that on purpose.
It misses.
When you fast travel to your mansion, it puts you outside the door. So you have to reload. So it loads you in, and then you have to go to the door 5 feet away, and then it loads you in again. Yeah. That's a move that's like...
No,
that's a power move.
That's a move
to remind you that we're in charge.
You're loading anyway, so why don't you just load the constellation?
You're choosing that on the quick, the fast travel.
Maybe they thought you'd want to turn around and just go on a walk for a bit.
You want
it is
see,
a nice garden.
Maybe
area.
It's a they there's it's like a
bizarre decision.
Studies that show like if you go through the door, it gives you ownership or something. I don't know.
Well, look, this is what I hope Bethesda, because we know they're coming out with Shattered Space probably later this year.
Yeah.
But I'm sure the majority of the team is working on Elder Scrolls 6. I hope the one lesson they take from Starfield, and look, people are like, oh, you got to use a new engine. Look, I could care less what engine you use. Sure, the creation engine, it has a little bit of jank, but jank can be charming, right?
Yeah.
What I hope they do is if I go into a building and open a door, I would like it just to open. And yeah. I think we're at a point in technology where we can get there,
hopefully.
But mostly because like The Witcher 3 does that. Grand Theft Auto does that for the most
part. Can I criticize this PlayStation noob here? Like, why are you wasting your gun at this point?
He doesn't know.
Go to the baton. Well, he has the baton. Go over right now. Is that an axe he has?
Well, look, like I said, to be fair, he's going to get like a crap ton of 10mm ammo.
Yeah, but Codsworth's doing all the work. Doesn't even matter.
Here's the thing, Codsworth.
He might know about the duplication glitch that Codsworth they've never fixed in any of their games.
Codsworth has a saw permanently on his arm, and yet.
And he takes care of the baby.
In this world, you let him go take care of the baby. And probably super hot thrusters constantly coming out, and you let him handle the baby. Well, that's some trust.
He handled the baby 200 years earlier.
That's some technological trust.
Children were tough in this world.
Children had to be tough. They had a jet propulsion system robot with a saw on his arm permanently.
Hard times create hard men.
Yeah. Anyways, congratulations to Fallout. I do think there's a chance that Fallout, I agree with you. I think Pip-Boy should be on there. I think it's more universal at this point. Nostalgia for...
Vault Boy, sorry.
Which the show does explain how Vault Boy, we get Vault Boy.
Yeah, it does.
It does?
And it shows how we get this.
It shows the Vault Boy. And you're like,
The way they tell it is very smart.
Yeah, and it's respectful. It's not like they're not trashing on it. It's good. It's very.
Have Vault Boy on there. I think here's the thing. We have nostalgia for Halo. That's great. Ask anyone that has only jumped into Halo recently. It doesn't hit the same for them, and it's because Halo is not what it once was. Halo is still fantastic. Halo Infinite is fantastic. The OG Halos were so good and so revolutionary. They had these cultural moments. This is that cultural moment right now for Xbox, for Game Pass, and it'll be interesting to see how they capitalize on it.
Well, hopefully they see that if you respect source material, you make more money.
That's what
I hope happens.
Yeah. A game that I downloaded that's on Game Pass, Euden Chronicles. Can we pull up footage of this? Spicy, it's a little hard to spell. EIYUDEN.
EIYU.
There it is. That's Rising, though. We want 100 Heroes is what it's called.
It's on Game Pass, yeah?
This just dropped on Game Pass. I downloaded it. Very, very, very excited for this. Going to be...
Once again, we just have PlayStation footage, but...
Going to be playing it this weekend. It's JRPG, turn-based strategy... Available on Game Pass everywhere, and it looks super fun. Super, super fun. What I like here is there's scenes. This, if you go to the, like, where they're walking around outside, they do what, see that blur? Like that, yeah, they look how beautiful that looks. That's Octopath Traveler. I think they've done it a little bit better. Like, I like the bigger sprites here.
It's like 2D, but also 3D.
Yeah, but it's very...
It's called 2.5D.
How do they
very,
do that?
That's very pleasing to the eye. Like, that's... It's just cool. It looks cool. Very excited for this, though.
And you got this, then?
Yeah, I downloaded this
yesterday. I just saw that they used a friendship combo, which I appreciate.
Yeah, that's nice. Friendship combo. Those friendship combos are solid,
That's
man.
Companion building.
That is companion building. Jordan, did you jump into anything new this week?
Well, he's playing Fallout 4, yeah?
Yeah, Fallout 4. I beat New Vegas. I did the... Which, by the way,
give it to me.
Yeah, I think I was talking to you about this. So when the show came out, there was some criticism that, and very subset of criticism. It's kind of died out, you know, by now. But there was criticism. They're like, oh, you know, the show did the NCR dirty and blah blah blah, and Bethesda hates New Vegas and blah, 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 whatever, right? The NCR are not the good guys. Like, I just want to say that. Okay.
Are you giving spoilers away, though, to people?
Fallout New Vegas doesn't count because it's 2011.
Okay.
Right?
Came out a long time
ago. Yeah, a long time ago.
But for people who don't know that and are watching the show, you kind of just gave away a big spoiler.
What, that the NCR aren't the good guys?
Yeah.
No one in Fallout is necessarily the good guys.
That's true. Yeah.
Well, that's why Bethesda does such a good job. It's gray area. When times are tough... There's no good.
Yeah. Well, and you kind of, it makes you kind of align. You kind of align like, okay, like, don't get me wrong. The New California Republic is better than most factions in the game. But some of the quests they send you on, it's just like, yeah, we're here. We're going to take that over. Can you go kill him? Do you want to talk to him? Or no, just get rid of him. Okay. That's cool. I mean, you can, as the player, choose to, you know, do different paths through the quest, but no, Fallout New Vegas was really fun. And it just made me think, because I the first time I played Fallout New Vegas, I did like the very personal ending.
Yeah.
Like of the, and if you know, you know, you know.
Yeah.
So I did like the personal me ending the first time I played. The second time through, I did the NCR ending. And yeah, it just made me think, like, because I saw some comments like, but you know, the whole NCR and,
but that's because of, yeah, that's because of what the show does.
Yeah. And I was thinking, like, you know, like, they're not like the Brotherhood of Steel, very cool faction, also not the good guys. Like, this is one of those things where, like, a few things can be true at once. NCR, cool faction, better than most, still not the greatest.
Here's the thing, though. It's how, like, shows can manipulate those feelings for you.
Because the Enclave, very cool power armor, not nice people, right? Like, it's...
No, but here's how... Because the show can manipulate those feelings for you and your perspective of it, because one of the best developed characters in the show is from the Brotherhood of Steel.
Yeah.
And well, so it gives you kind of like almost a positive, even though they're, even though they do show you the true Brotherhood of Steel through that character.
Yeah.
And what happens to him.
But even then.
Isn't he, he's actually one of my favorite characters.
No, they're all three main characters.
At first you don't care about him at all. And he progresses episode to episode and he's cool. He's just cool.
Yeah. I think all the three main characters were all done really well. But no, I'd follow New Vegas. And that's actually...
Ghouls, also not good guys.
Well, depends on who you are, depends, right?
Yeah, also not the good
just
guys.
Just like every person could be a good guy. Or good
yeah, good so, guy. But... no, that's another thing. Before we... The one thing that... Another criticism of mine of Fallout 4 is the ending. You didn't have as much... How do I say it? Like you have impact on the ending in Fallout 4, but not near as much as like New Vegas. Like what New Vegas does, and you know, maybe it's just when you beat the game of New Vegas, Ron Perlman comes on and he basically explains everything that happens, right? And maybe that's not the most like wow ending, but it's like, oh, and the cons did this because you did that, and like he goes through, and you're like, oh yeah, because I did that, they're there now, or whatever. The boomers did this. Fallout 4 doesn't have that. It basically has, like, set in stone, what is it, 3 or 4 endings? And only one of those endings can you somewhat have multiple factions survive type, you know, so, but anyway. No, I played New Vegas. I beat it. I enjoyed it. I jumped into Fallout 4. And then I also purchased myself a hard drive expansion slot, and I installed all the games I wanted.
1 terabyte.
Yeah, because it went from $200 to $150, which I was like, okay, well, that's better.
What is your worth it, not worth it?
Yeah, because now I don't have to worry about games right now.
I don't think it was $200. The two terabyte is.
No, 2 terabyte is $300. And the...
No, because that price had dropped for a while.
And the one terabyte is $150. I'm not saying it was 200 a while ago and now it's dropped to 150.
Oh, I see. Yeah, over time.
And 150, yeah, I'm like, okay, I can somewhat, you know, that's the one I got right there, the WD.
Yeah, it is.
But no, it's great. Yeah, so because it's not an external drive, like plugged into USB, it's actually in the expansion slot. So it's hooked into the, are these technically NVMe drives? These hard drives?
Yeah.
It's, so it's that.
Well, they're solids. Well, I don't know. NVMe is like the port thing.
Oh, gotcha. But they're that, like, they're hooked into the motherboard, so for faster loading times,
yeah,
right?
It's how the CPU has access to the memory.
So when you plug that in, does it now count? Does it expand your internal storage?
No, it still tells me I have 2 storages, like, and it's a terabyte each. But games that are optimized for Xbox Series X can only be on your internal because of the speed of the hard drive, right, and how the hard drive works. Now those Xbox Series X, I don't have to worry about it because I can put those Xbox Series X optimized games on the external hard drive. Yeah, well, it's so technically an external hard drive, but it's not. It's an expansion slot.
My external hard drive is just storage.
So I'm
not playing games off.
For example, if you were to put, so Fallout 4, well, give me a game. Let's just Fallout 4. Fallout 4.
Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
Well, a game that's optimized for Series X and S, right? Which is probably one of those games.
Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
So the game is optimized for Xbox Series X and S. If you put that game on your external hard drive through like a regular USB, it will put the Xbox One version of the game.
Sure, yeah.
You know what I mean? If there's not an Xbox One version, it'll say it cannot be installed on this drive, right? So that's the advantage of having the expansion slot is I don't have to worry about that. I can just, whatever game, whether it's optimized Series X or not, I can just throw it wherever I want. In a perfect world, I would have gotten the 2 terabytes because then I would have been set for a while. But I downloaded all the games I wanted to, and I have, I think, 500 gigs left. So it's like, all right, I got some room.
Yeah.
I got some room.
I'm balanced right now.
You know, yeah, like it's and I got all the games I want. I re-downloaded ESO because that's a big game, and I enjoy when the new chapters come out, and I play that, and it's nice having everything at my fingertips.
Star Wars Jedi Survivor also dropped on Game Pass. Another big one, Spicy. Who should play Star Wars Jedi Survivor?
Any Star Wars fan.
Yep.
Traditional Star Wars fan, even if you like the new stuff, I don't know, but when this game came out, it had been for me one of the best Star Wars stories I had in a long time.
The first one or the second one?
First one.
Isn't Survivor the second one?
Or Survivor the second one? Oh, that's even better.
Oh, yeah. It is Survivor. Yeah, yeah.
Order is the first one.
My bad. That's right. Survivor.
So,
what's even better?
Yeah, that's even better. No, Jedi. This game. Cal, is that his
Cal
name?
Cal Kestis.
Yeah, Cal Kestis. He's such a cool character. He is a very cool character. So, yeah, if you have enjoyed Star Wars in the past and you're a traditional fan, you should.
Well, you've convinced me because I remember getting this game and never playing it. Well, no, I mean, I don't know.
Well, anyway, now it's on Game Pass.
I didn't play this game when it came out because of whatever reason. But you've convinced me. I have the hard drive space. I will throw it on and play it.
Go jump on it. Can we talk about Sea of Thieves real quick before we go?
Yeah,
I have a lot to say on Sea of Thieves.
Yeah.
Okay. I dropped probably 8 hours total this last weekend in Sea of Thieves. I went pretty hard on it. And for a busy guy like me, that's going hard. And I love it. I'm blown away at all that's been added there. I haven't played since it was on the Xbox One, since I played it on the Xbox One, so that's been a while.
Been a while.
And there's a lot to do. There's a lot of different options there. There's a lot of things for you to track and achievements to get and stuff like that. Jumped in with Jordan the Man, jumped in with Barbara Blake, did some of the new forts, the new riots, the new missions, etc. Some of the quality of life features, like being able to fast travel to your quests. Love that. Beautiful. Then
they have fast travel now?
Yeah.
Yes and no.
One-way fast travel, basically.
Yeah. It's not fast travel. It's start next to your first objective.
It's cool, though. It's
But the way, because when they first announced it, I was like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Because that kind of, yeah. But the way it is implemented makes sense.
They did a good job with it.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what they've not done a good job with, which is why I have not played the game since this weekend. So this was probably Saturday that I jumped in hard. Actually, so Saturday I probably got 4 or 5 hours in total.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Jumping in, doing mostly multiplayer, trying to level up, focusing on gold hoarders, we have a guild, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
The X1 Bros guild. How many levels did we move up in the guild? One?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And this is my problem. The game is fantastic. It shines when you're playing with friends. So then Sunday, I'm like, all right, I'm going to work on my gold hoarders because I think that's fun. And there's all these different ways that I can go get treasures. I love the way they list the missions now. They show the time that it takes. They show that they've leveled them for you. So you can be like, okay, I'm going to do this. I don't want to just go search for buried treasures. I want to go fight a fortress, blah, blah, blah. I can then raise an emissary flag. Something else new that, at least new for me, that doubles my experience as I go. So I'm doing it solo. 6 hours. Do you want to know how many levels I moved up in gold hoarders over the span of 2 days? Playing multiplayer. Any guesses? Spicy, how many levels did I move up?
Two or one? I don't know.
Charlie Man,
it depends on where you are. What level did you start at?
29.
Not even one.
You are correct. Not even one. I'm done.
Yeah, there you go. Mark remembers.
I'm done. Yeah. So, Mark, you remember.
Yeah, if you were like
there
nine,
is so many options. And... So, when I jump in with Jordan the Man and Barbara Blake, I have a blast. Not super concerned about leveling up because there are tasks there and you're just having fun with friends. I cannot play this game. Like, what is my purpose? That is like this giant kick to the nut. You want to know what 6 hours gets me on a Sunday in Fallout 4? It gets me 6 hours into the story. 6 hours into the game. It doesn't even get
actually,
me.
It actually technically gets you 6 hours into two different saves.
You
broke your first save.
Yeah. Save like you, 6 minutes, man.
You broke your first save and actually had to restart the game.
Fallout is like what, a 25-30 hour Fallout 4, 30 hour game. Let's say it's a 30 hour game. That gets me 1/5 of the way through the entire story in one Sunday. I can't even go one level in Gold Hoarders, and it's not like I'm going 49-50 because I could understand that, and I can't even understand that. That's still, they need to fix their grind.
Well,
you totally disincentivized me from playing because you want to know where their grind is properly. You want to know how fast I leveled up in their season pass, though?
Well, it's because they encourage you to buy it.
Yeah, because something they want me to spend money on.
They give you all the crap.
They give me the progression. They give me a feeling of progression. I'm at like level 40 on the season pass.
Yeah, in like 2 days. Because they want you to buy it.
It's a hundred pass level, so that grind is going to increase. But at least you're moving there. If I spent 6 hours in your freaking game, I should be able to go
also,
up.
Also, it should be said that, wasn't it a double experience weekend this weekend?
And it was a double gold experience weekend.
Or maybe it was...
It wasn't experience.
It was just gold. It was just gold.
So I got a crap ton of gold, which was awesome. I was able to buy my own ship. Yeah. So I did get a crap ton
just
of gold.
Just gold.
But that's not enough. Like, Rare, that's not enough. It was a huge disincentive for me.
Jordan's going to say it is better than it was.
Well, no, it is.
But see,
believe it or not.
There's more options.
No, the grind
has not improved.
No, like...
It has a little bit. Because of those options, it has. But it is demoralizing. Like, if you... And it's not demoralizing in
the
way,
the
like...
That's the word, demoralizing.
It's not...
Like, what the F did I just do for 6 hours?
If you do all that and then get pirated at the end.
See, that's what kept happening to me.
That's no, okay, so that there.
You gotta get your emissary flag to level 5 to get this bonus in XP. I would get it to like level 2 or 3. I'd be turning in stuff, and these freaking raiders would burn my ship down. You burn your ship, I lose my emissary flag. I got to start over again. I still got the credit for turning in my chest, but.
Yeah, so that.
Extra punishing.
See, no. So that emotion, I'm for. Like,
when you bring stuff back, your butt should clench.
No. Like
the risk reward should make sense. But
that I'm okay with. That kind of waste. I've had times where it's been same thing. You know, we started at 6 p.m. We went all the way to like midnight, 1 a.m. And this is like
7 hours.
Yeah, no. This is with Blake when we were getting a pirate legend, yeah. Right? There was nights when we were just doing it and we were cruising, and then like right when we were about to turn everything in, we get raided, or and it's literally like it is one of the only games where it's 100% a waste of 6 hours. Like, you've literally wasted your life.
Here's the thing.
But I like that.
I like that part too. And if that's what's preventing me because I'm not avoiding pirate, that actually is fun. But when I get my stuff and turn it in,
well, I wouldn't say it's fun. But it adds to the game.
That is like, okay.
In a good way, I think.
Again, come on, people. Like, at least I understand
Bloody
that
pirates.
Reasoning. But if I'm still able to turn in, like, you got to fix your progression system. Because it is why can't my progression, everything I do progresses me in the battle pass? Why can't that same thing happen for everything else in the game? The battle pass might be too forgiving, I think. I actually think it's leveling
well,
me up too
I
fast.
Literally think it's because they want you to buy it. Because think about this. You get to level 100, you're like, oh, well, I'm 100. Might as well just buy it for 10 bucks and get all the paid track.
Yeah, it's too lenient. I think they could tweak that a little bit. But it's a much better pace than anything else in that game.
All right, I for the most part agree with you that coming from I'm a pirate legend.
You are
pirate
legend,
I have my credentials here, right? Yeah. I wear the T-shirt all the time just so the world knows who I am.
Go ahead.
So it is demoralizing when you spend, especially when we were doing like the original Tall Tales and stuff, and anyway, but like let's say you go in, you play for even let's say 3 hours, you get a good haul, you bring it back, you turn it all in, and you go up a quarter of a level. It is very demoralizing, where Sea of Thieves is right now with them being coming to drop on PlayStation, with how their leveling works, because I don't think the level cap is 50 anymore. I believe, I can't remember if it's 100 or 150 for every
class
or every rank system.
Yeah.
I think because of where they're at now and because of where the levels are, like the level cap isn't 50 anymore, I think there could be some room for adjustment in how much experience you get for what you do.
Yeah.
Because it can be very demoralizing, especially if you're playing solo on a sloop. You go like you did, you go 4 or 5 hours, you turn in, you get a quarter of a level, or not even a quarter of a level, and you're like, seriously?
Yeah. So Spicy, you were gonna say something?
If I was, I totally forgot what I was going to say. No.
It's just too much. Like this game, I love it. Even watching this, like the way that it moves, so, the feel is so fun. But you don't give me a reason to stay.
I remember what I was going to say. Yeah. Changing the system or adapting it a little bit, you have to be careful because you have hardcore guys like this guy over here that have reached Pirate Legend.
Yeah, you don't want to.
And if you make it easy, then it diminishes. Well, so yeah. you gotta be careful with your fan base.
I agree with that, and I don't think you should be able to unlock everything in a week. Like I also don't think you should spend 4 hours doing gold hoarders or skeletons or forts or whatever you're doing, and then get not even a quarter of a level.
Yeah, and it's not like I understand, like there's like in gold hoarders, there's different level chests. I wasn't going for the top chests, but I was going for, they were all captain's chests, so they're not also not the lowest. It's maybe like the B-plus chests. I was going after the B-plus chests.
Yeah.
So trying to min-max my time, trying to crush it, and it's just is there an equivalent? Is there a game?
Tarkov.
Yeah, Tarkov does a pretty good job.
100%.
Yeah. Really?
And they actively update the game to make it worse.
Yeah. They're trying to kick you in the nuts harder every patch.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's...
To detriment or to its success?
Well, look, I'm not going to say every decision they made is bad. I actually really enjoyed the higher flea market decisions. I think
Can we watch someone else? This dude, the way this guy looks around...
It's driving you crazy. Let me skip ahead.
Yeah, like...
Okay.
Holy crap, bro. Okay.
Hey, but before
we're just chilling at the fireplace.
This kid has ADHD or something. Like, holy...
Before we talk about Tarkov, let's talk about this though, because you and I talked about this specifically this week. When you jumped into Sea of Thieves and we were sailing through a storm and the waves were crashing, our ship was all over the place, it was creaking, you
the
were
water
down repairing
was
how it
spraying now, out of the television on my face.
How much more of a pirate and immersed did you feel than playing Skull of Bones?
A million times.
Yeah. When you play Sea of Thieves, and I'm just going to say it, when you play Sea of Thieves, it makes Skull and Bones look foolish.
Yeah, thank you. Look at isn't there a smoothness to this guy now that we're watching? Like, is this a different guy?
Yeah,
this is a different guy. Yeah, look at, like, what was that other dude's problem? Hey, other dude. Whoa.
Sea of Thieves.
If I could dislike that video, I would.
Yeah. Like, he just must be throwing up all the time, making himself sick.
Sea of Thieves is very unique in the way you sail your boat, because you actually have to do sails and wind and steer, and it's someone on cannons, like, you know, stuff like that. It's very unique in the way you play the game, and that's what gives it charm and character and makes the game, or makes you feel like a pirate and a sailor. We talked about this extensively this week. We even talked about it last week on your show that you do over on your channel. But we talked about the comparison of Skull and Bones in this game. And Skull and Bones, I just think when you compare it head-to-head to Sea of Thieves, and yes, I know they're different games, and people argue that Skull and Bones is more of a naval game than a pirate game.
Skull and Bones is...
But it's... I don't think it's...
Not even close.
Yeah, it's not. And it's a shame to say, because Skull and Bones...
They're apples and oranges.
Yeah, it's Sea of Thieves is on... Like, if you want to be a pirate and you're like, Jordan, what should I spend $80 for Skull and Bones and be a pirate, or should I play Sea of Thieves?
No, Sea of Thieves.
For free on Game Pass. Yes, you should play Sea of Thieves for free on Game Pass.
Now, my critique here, the game is still is amazing, and I'm blown away. That's what pisses me off, though, because I want to play it. But like I said, it's a question of value for me, return on my investment. I'm investing 6 hours in your game. What do I get in return? I need something more than half of a move.
Well, it's what's interesting. So me and Barbara Blake talked about this because I told him your comments and he was saying, you know, and we were just going, kind of going back and forth about a few things. But we talked about and see, World of Warcraft did this too, and it was to the detriment of their game. And recently, although I wish there was more, World of Warcraft has made changes to rectify this. The game is being designed for the top 1%. And I don't think that is
That's not
good design for the game. Because the grind, it's not a problem for the top 1% because they play it as a job.
Yeah.
Right? Just like wasn't a problem for World of Warcraft dailies because it's when it's your job to play every day, you know?
Yeah.
So
this is the problem. If my friends are not on playing this game as a result of that punishing grind, I will not be playing this game. On my time.
Well, you'd rather play it with friends.
With friends, it doesn't. In friends, I'm not as concerned.
You don't
concerned.
Feel it as much.
No, I'm just not as concerned about leveling up. The sandbox, the way this game works is it's amazing with people. Like, you're getting different situations, and it just shines. Like, for instance, as we were playing, we're attacking this fort. While we're attacking this fort, there's another guy there. He's like, hey, let's be friendly. Let's team up and get this together. So we're teaming up, getting it together. Then towards the end, as we're beating the boss, another ship comes in, and the other guy yells out, hey, there's a ship coming. This other ship comes in, starts circling us. We're all firing at him, trying to work together. What do? We're patching our ship up, taking care of the boss, trying to get our loot back on board to get out of there. Finally, we abandon the poor guy.
Yeah, at a certain point, because it was a battle and we had a lot of loot.
Yeah.
At a certain point, there was an executive decision made to sacrifice the teammate so we could go turn in our stuff.
I believe what we said is, we don't know this guy. Let's go.
Yeah. So pirate, you know?
Fun fact, too, as you're not on loot tables or anything, so as we, this is the kind of, again, we're pirates. Fits perfectly with my personality because as we're bidding, instead of like skulls are dropping, bounty skulls and stuff.
To be fair, he was aligned with us, so he did get some of that experience that we turned in.
Yeah. But as the skulls are dropping and stuff, I'm slowly taking them off the battlefield and hiding them in the bushes.
So no one else can see them.
So he can't take them. And I'm letting him drop.
While everybody's fighting.
While everyone's fighting.
So everybody has a job on our crew, you know?
My job is to inconspicuously
hide the loot.
Loot. So that only we get it and our allies don't. See that right there? That story? No other, very few games. I won't say no other game. Very few games deliver that kind of experience. When this game shines, it shines. But again, Sea of Thieves, I can't play you single player.
No, like, yeah, I
you have kicked me in the nuts too hard.
I think that is a valid criticism, and I do think that, like I said, I don't think, and Mark, you're right too, I don't think you should be able to unlock everything, you know, super fast in a week or a month, you know, like, but it does feel like, I think they can adjust it to make it feel like you're making progress.
So it's why I jumped on and started playing Fallout 4. And I spent the rest of the weekend and week. I was going to buy the season pass, actually.
See, that's how they get you.
I was going to buy it. And I planned on. Because
you were just flying through it.
Because here's the other thing that I like about this game. I can play this game in front of my kids. What really crushes my gameplay hours is I cannot play
certain games.
Insert game here in front of my kids who are all under the age of 8.
Yeah.
This game I can. So I'm like, yes, I'm loving this. I love all these additions. I'm going to jump in, and I'm going to be on this every night. I'm going to start grinding it. Because of my experience Sunday, I didn't. And so now every night after the kids went to bed, I'm on Fallout for 2 hours, 2 hours in the evening.
I have a question.
I have one too.
Instead, go ahead.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. Okay, mine's probably got a quick answer. Can I change my character avatar yet?
I think you can buy something to do it.
Short answer, yes. But how that happens, money? I don't know.
Yeah, how that happens, I don't know.
Yeah.
Mine is so. Still...
Blake's in chat. He might be able to tell you.
Mine is OG.
Yeah, mine's OG.
The fat guy with the tattoo.
Yeah, I instantly regretted it.
Oh, see, but, yeah, there you go. Yes.
But it costs money.
Huh. That's how they get you.
You want to know where they didn't have before? What they didn't have before is basically ships have become player housing.
Yeah.
You can earn... So that is one thing. Because of the double coin weekend, I did get enough to get my own ship. I have my own ship. And then you level up your ship. Here's the thing. Your ship level accommodations go up appropriately. Like, I was able to level up my ship and get my accommodations for my ship, and you unlock different things and different aesthetics for doing that. But I cannot move my classes, and so they either need to fix the grind or take those, give those a back seat to other things that you could level up in the game, because it's like this mixed messaging. Like, I can do all these things with my ship level, I can get all these accommodations that way, I can do it with the battle pass, but the main classes in the game that you need to do X, Y, or Z doesn't do that for you.
I have a question now, not necessarily related to Sea of Thieves, but related to kids playing games with you.
Yeah.
At what age do you think it's appropriate to play co-op Gears of War with your kids?
I think it's different for every kid.
Because I really want to play that game.
Yeah.
But I want to go back and play it.
So, I don't know.
But I'm a chainsaw kind of person. Yeah, you know?
That's what I'm saying. That's the kind.
But
of
I see. I think you're not chainsawing people unless you play multiplayer, right? You're more so chainsawing.
So I will like say, this
monster race. You know,
I was playing Diablo 4 in front of my kids, and I wasn't even paying attention. I wasn't even thinking about it.
Me too. I have the same thing.
And then cutscene happened. The first cutscene
is the one in the church.
The priest.
Yeah, they beat him.
And I'm sitting there and I'm like, wow. And then I realized.
You like look over.
And I look over and my kids are like.
You're like, huh.
With eyes wide open. And later that night, of course, for like a week, they all had nightmares. Waking up in the middle of the night screaming. So Diablo 4, probably like 12, I would say. I would maybe
what
later.
About Gears?
Yeah, Gears.
Gears, I would. See, Gears is less because I feel like what makes Diablo 4. Is it was like, it's like dark to begin with, a dark story, and then it's against humans. Does it feel like when you're fighting aliens, it's less?
Well, they're not. I mean, would you say they're aliens? I mean, the Lambit.
Well, they're less aliens than we are on that planet. They've been underground for a long time.
Yeah.
Their home.
Aren't they actually ruled by a human? Queen Mira.
But I'd say,
yeah.
I'd go.
Queen Mira, isn't she?
For me, I'd say 12.
12, yeah.
12.
So what you're saying is I'm not going to be playing that game for a while.
Yeah, this is what you just got to do it in.
Anybody want to play
Here's
Gears?
So I've
been wanting to go through the Gears trilogy again. Does anybody want to play it co-op with me?
I wouldn't let my kids watch the Fallout show right now, but playing Fallout 4, it's not bad yet, at least. Or I don't find it too... It's the animations, too. The animations and art style matter as well. Mortal Kombat? No, that's not happening. That's not happening for a long time.
I know. See, everybody should experience Mortal Kombat. That's just life.
I experienced that when I was like 12. Being at the arcade and seeing...
Anyways...
Scorpion rip someone's head off?
Sea of Thieves, I think, is going to be an absolute powerhouse here on PlayStation. Also, by the way, one thing that we haven't talked about.
That's next week?
Sea every Thieves, game that has released from Xbox, the four games announced, Pentiment was the first one. Then we have Hi-Fi Rush, and it did a little bit better, like as far as total players playing, according to analysis this week. It did better. Then what was the last one that to just drop over there? Not Hi-Fi Rush. Grounded. Grounded dropped, and it's done even better. So each one is getting more. And finally, Sea of Thieves, and I think Sea of Thieves is going to skyrocket. But if you think about it, it makes sense why these... So we talked about it before. Like, well, these games make sense. Grounded, Sea of Thieves, for instance, they're multiplayer games. Hi-Fi Rush makes sense to open up this new IP to people. It fits. But especially a Sea of Thieves and Grounded. I don't think Xbox is ever going to release all their games onto all consoles. I think that that's foolish. I think that's fanboy Twitter talk who they've not thought about it.
Imagine if you were the guy that went and turned in your Xbox over nothing. I like think about that.
Or smashed it. They just knee-jerked reacted to this.
Over
There's
nothing?
There's a whole... PlayStation got Destiny because PlayStation doesn't have these types of games. Sea of Thieves, Grounded. They're successful over on PlayStation because there's a hole that needs to be filled. Sea of Thieves, Grounded. They can fill that hole. And it fits strategically with it's a strategic move. It's a strategic decision there. And that I think that that's playing out and bearing out. And I think it's a smart move. We'll see. I think it's going to be huge on PlayStation.
Whoever we're watching is really good at this game.
Yeah. This, I mean, well, look at his,
I think it's my gameplay.
Look at his sniper.
No, it's with a mouse.
Whoever I play on the computer now.
Whoever, really? It,
yeah, 140
whoever
frames.
Watching has like 1,000.
He's really good.
Probably has 1,000 hours in this game. It's what you have to get that to get that to the get equipment. Look at this. Look at this freaking shovel, for crying out loud. Why do you want to put gems on your shovel? Literally goes in the dirt.
If you have it, flaunt it. Okay. Yeah. That's what pirates do.
It's like putting gold in your teeth, I guess. It's the same thing. Diamonds. Teeth diamonds. All right, guys, that does it for this week. Thank you very much for tuning in. It's a big week. Go play some games. Lots of games to play right now. If you're struggling to find game time, let's do what I do. And Spicy, he doesn't watch TV. We got to flip it. I've said to myself, okay, I can't watch TV. Only TV on the weekends because I've got to play games. I actually said it to my wife. I do watch one Seinfeld episode, but that's 20 minutes while I'm eating.
It's a good show to do that, yeah.
Absolutely.
Great show.
See you guys later. Have a good one, everyone. Bye-bye.